Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Heavy sigh there. It's just, I know people don't want to hear a heavy sigh at the beginning of a program. I want to keep you listening, but it's just incredible. October 1, what a year it's been.
Yes.
What a chaotic, strange year this has been.
And what does the rest of the year hold? That's a good question.
Yes, so... But we'll muddle through it, just like gold has muddled through some of its down days here lately. It was nice to have another up day today. You have gold up $20 at $1,906. You have silver up 58 cents at $23.88. Platinum was up $7 at $901. Palladium was up 14 at $2,368. Pressure on the dollar down 0.09 at 93.74. Crude oil was down a buck 57 at 38.65. The paper markets today, they were up most of the day. They're still up. The Dow was up 35 points, 27,817. The NASDAQ was up 159 points, 11,326. The S&P up 17 at 3,380. Let's see, 10-year yield 0.68%, no change. Everything was quiet around the world. Let's see. I know there was an article out today. I think it was posted today, October 1. This could be the worst day in aviation history for job losses. It's not a good headline. This is not a good headline to be reading the day before you have a jobs report coming out. Tens of thousands of jobs are being eliminated as the pandemic drags on. The employers announcing massive new cuts ahead of potentially brutal fall and winter. So it just continues. Thursday, American Airlines, United Airlines said they will cut a total of 32,000 jobs. That number just keeps increasing. I remember when it was first 19,000, I think.
Yep.
And... So that was all they needed some. They're still dealing with the ongoing travel restrictions, lower demand. We heard this week earlier, we reported that Disney was laying off 28,000.
Yep.
You have Shell said it was going to cut 9,000 jobs as part of its shift to low carbon energy. Goldman Sachs is resuming layoffs. It had been paused. They plan to eliminate about 400 positions. That's about 1% of its workforce. Should I stop there or should I just keep going?
You have Dow Chemicals. Dow Chemicals is a huge one. Marathon Petroleum also laying off. This is huge. This is actually worldwide. I mean, Dutch Shell, of course, is worldwide, and Marathon Petroleum. This is worldwide. This is a huge hit. And it's not turning around. I mean... We had 830,000 more new filing for unemployment, over 830,000 people new last week. Melody, that's almost another million people filing for unemployment.
Yeah.
An airline just laid off today, so that's going to be another, 30-some thousand filing here probably next week. So this is something, it's not turned around. People, I wish it was. I wish I could say everything. It was a V bounce. We're back up to normal. Not even close. When companies like Royal Dutch and Shell and Dow Chemicals and Marathon are laying people off, that shows that there's a lack of demand for the product. So that's not good.
And you know, the administration is now, you know, they're proposing to include $20 billion extension in aid for the airline industry. So now that $1.5 trillion is beginning to, you know, creep back up. But that's no surprise, you know. And again, until you get some negative numbers out of something and it affects the stock market, who knows when they'll allow the stimulus to go through. I mean, I'm not a fan of the stimulus. I just say let those fail who fail. It's a sad thing to say, but you know, we need to stop bailing everybody out. We just need to stop it. And the banks are going to be next, big U.S. banks, to report profit plunge. Well, we're always bailing them out. So, I mean, it's... I wanted to see the manufacturing was supposed to come out this morning at 10, and I can't find that report, but unemployment marches higher in Europe, so they're going. We had U.S. consumer spending that rose in August.
Yep. And declined already.
Yeah.
When the stimulus ran out, you know, it's going to drop. They lost $600 bucks a week.
Yeah.
You know, of course it's going to drop.
Yep. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things going on, but you wouldn't know we were in a recession by anybody who talks about it. I told somebody one time, it wasn't that long ago, I says, well, you know, we're in a recession since February. Well, who said so? He says, well, you know, and I told him, and I showed him the report and so forth. Well, you know, until I hear it from the top, we're not in a recession.
Okay. Tell that the it's guy okay. Sitting home there without enough food paid to feed his family. Tell me not in a recession.
Yeah.
Arrogant people. Mm.
My goodness. Nothing changes. Everything stays the same.
Everybody keeps hoping against hope, and as I said before, the two great controllers of people, the second one in line is fear is controlling, but the one that keeps it in line the most is false hope. You keep dangling the carrot in front of them, they'll never get it. But as long as they think they can, they'll stay peaceful and believe what they're being told. That's how false hope works. And for anyone to look at the numbers and say this nation hasn't taken a hit, and not just here, but everyone in the world is taking a hit. If they can say that, then they're either willfully ignorant or stupid, which both same thing really, because you can't look at the numbers and say anything different than that. It is what it is. Almost another million people filed for first time benefits last week. 830,000. Melly, that's a lot of people out of work, and there's no bonus coming this time. There's no more, you know, extra money coming in on unemployment. They'll get what they get. And how long can unemployment keep on paying when people aren't even working to pay unemployment?
I know it. So it's, but we say this day in and day out, you know, and it's
we do.
Just
we do, and it probably gets old on people, but it doesn't change the facts. I mean, if somebody's house is on fire, are you going to just yell once that it's on fire and get out of there? Or are you going to keep on trying to bang on the door as long as you have hope to get them out of there? That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to tell them. I mean, we still have some time, but not a lot of time. We got to make a move now if you're going to make a move. I was just looking at a piece of gold today. Well, I'll just share this with you. This is kind of an important thing. Share with you very quickly. On the return on your money to bank. Now, people, if you think this isn't foolishness, you need to listen to this. The average rate paid by banks on basic federally insured savings accounts is a mere 0.05%. $5,000 in savings account would earn $2.50 a year. If you put that in gold last year, the value went up at least 28%. At least 20% since last year. So, actually more than that, but at least 20% since the first of the year. So, what do you think paid off the most, Melody? The $5,000 in paper in the bank or $5,000 worth of gold?
Gee, that's a toughie.
That's a toughie ending. I mean, that makes you think a little bit now. You have to figure it out. Get your pen and paper out now. But, folks, listen, if you got money in a savings account, you're wasting your money. You're losing money. $2.50 a year? Oh, that's insane. Take the cash out and put it in something valuable. Maybe some food and a water filter and a bit of gold and silver, but something valuable. Food is not going to go. Food will gain you more in a year than what this will. The value of food will go up a lot faster than that. So, there you go. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Bankrupt Chuck E. Cheese will spend $2.3 million to destroy 7 billion prize tickets. The chain says that destroying the tickets, which would fill 65 cargo shipping containers, costs less than a $9 million that would have to be spent if they were redeemed for prizes. Somebody could build a fire and heat the house all winter, I guess. $2 million to destroy the tickets, and you know they're bankrupt. And Chuck E. Cheese was a big thing at one time at Colorado Springs, where my son lives. When his children were young, if they had a party, they went to Chuck E. Cheese. So that's huge. But spend that kind of money just to destroy the tickets. There you go.
You know, you kind of wonder, you know, we went through that period, of course, Chuck E. Cheese, now pizzas, you know, not good for the kids and so forth. And, you know, I don't know what other problems that they had. I don't think it was just the virus that put them out of business. But, you know, it's going to be blamed for a lot of businesses failing, or they might have had problems, you know, initially. So whether it was the final straw that made them go out of business or they're going to blame it, I know you're hearing more and more people in construction and so forth. I'm hearing that, you know, homes builders are having issues because they can't get the product in order to build their homes, and prices are going up. And we talked about lumber already and how that has skyrocketed just overnight and so forth. But then you have other people who blame the post office because things are not getting shipped and, you know, things are being delayed. And, I mean, it's just like nothing is functioning smoothly.
No, it's not.
It's, there's a lot of chaos. Chaos isn't the right word. But it's not, you know, the system isn't flowing.
Lots of infrastructure failure is what it is.
Exactly.
It really
Excuse
is.
Me. And, you know, and I talk about how long have I been saying that the supply chain is broken?
Yes. Yes, it is. And the whole world being linked like it is, if something goes down in India, it affects China. Affects China, it affects us. It's worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's worldwide.
So, I mean, the Institute for Supply Management did say that the manufacturing index slipped to 54.6 in September from a 21-month high of 56 in the prior month. We all know that readings over 50% indicate growth. So there was growth, not as much, but it did grow for the fifth month. As they reconfigured their factories to cope with the virus, they did bring back some workers. But they did fall short of forecasts, and new orders and productions were strong. I mean, again, you can't get products, so whatever this country's making, they've got to be, you know, geared up for now, and which is a good thing. It is a good thing. So there's still some difficulties in that certain industries, and you know we'll have to see, how it turns out. The index for new orders slipped 7.4 points, but it was still quite robust at 60.2. And I think the thing of it is, it shouldn't be slipping. If we're on a V-shaped recovery, you wouldn't have slippage.
Right.
And this is the same for production. The gauge fell 2.3 points to 61%. You know, any reading over 60 is vigorous. So, but it's still slipping. That's the big concern, and you wouldn't think it would be. So, tomorrow the jobs report comes out. So we'll have to see if there's any. We'll have to see if there's any miscalculations in that.
That should be very interesting. So, you know, you would think, of course, that with this supply and demand, the supply is really low. The demand is up in some areas, but I guess, and really in a sense, especially on major products, people buy a lot right now. The ones that are out of work can't afford to buy a refrigerator. And right now, you can't even find a refrigerator. Yeah. So maybe that's why they, you know, that is dropped a little bit. People just can't afford to order.
Well, the whole thing is, if you look at the chart of the ISM Manufacturing Index, you can go back to September. What I'm looking at goes back to September 2017. And we were fluctuating between, it went over 60 twice in, let's see, about, you know, early part of the first quarter of 2018 and the last quarter of 2018, the third quarter. Since then, it's been dropping like a rock. I mean, it was above 60 in the third quarter of 2018, I'm estimating, around that time frame. And in January of 2020, it was down to, it was below 50. And then, of course, in January, it started dropping. That was before the virus hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and we went to a low of about 42, 43, and now we are back up to where we're at, 56. So it has come back strong, but it's been on a decline for 2 years. 1.5 years it's been on a decline, a significant decline.
I thought we had the best economy ever. That's what I thought. I mean, I heard that just on the
history,
the debate too. Yeah,
in the history of the world in the United States.
Yes, I thought we had the best ever. And Trump repeated the other night. He said we had the best economy ever in the history of the nation until COVID came in.
So this kind of, seeing this chart, because it was the first time I've seen it in a long time or paid any attention to it, and it's kind of shocking.
Yes.
And again, this is from the Institute for Supply Management. So. Very interesting. Steep decline. And since the third quarter of 2018. Maybe that's why we were in a recession in January. Before COVID.
Gee. Well, that should knock the clear office legs, I would thought, when COVID hit. But apparently it didn't affect as much as I thought it did.
Well, when COVID hit in January 2020, we were above 50. We were probably about 51. And then when the COVID hit, we went down to 42. So it did drop, and now we're coming back. But, I mean, we've been on a steep climb, a deep, steep decline since then. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Butch, what do you have to tell us today?
Well, I would want to just briefly share something else about the so-called debate. According to the polls, however they count this, about 73.1 billion watched it. That was way less than 2016 debate. 73.1 million watched it. But said Trump-Biden's cage fight stokes global perception. Now, folks, listen to that. Stokes global perception of a country in decline, mired in chaos. And they hit that right on the head. There was a time when much of the world watched President Trump's conduct with a mix of worry and amusement, concerned about U.S. policy, but content to watch the spectacle. That time has passed. The global reaction to Tuesday's presidential debate was somber and disquieted, as countries considered anew the increasingly real possibility that the U.S. president could challenge the results of November's election, rallying the foundation of democracy and rolling the global economy. So, folks, this is what the world's thinking. Though Trump's presidency has been defined by moments of disruption and surprise, what unfolded tonight will still seem like a turning point as the world beset by the novel coronavirus pandemic and the political turmoil it has brought saw a superpowers election run through with chaos and dysfunction. That is pretty much right what it was. There's no arguing the point. That's what it was. It's chaos and dysfunction. A superpower that no longer, folks, it's losing its ability to be a superpower in a lot of different ways. Our nation is in decline. If that's the best we can produce, two leaders of the free world, and that's the best they can hold a debate, that's the most intelligent conversation they can hold. We're not in decline, folks. We're already at the bottom of the barrel. If that's all we have to offer, that's beyond sad. I can't even think of a word to describe it.
And, you know, Butch, I was thinking that was, you know, part of President Trump's agenda. He had that plan. He knew how that he was going to behave and so forth. And, you know, he's got all three, because that's the only thing that makes sense for behavior. But then I'm thinking about this debate is for the American people.
Right.
Have we become so low that's the level that we have to be spoken to in order to follow to follow someone and to, you know, vote as the president of the United States? Is that that's like the lowest common denominator.
It is.
Do we have so little respect for us that we shouldn't expect more?
Well, you know, and I think most people watched it were disgusted. I think the ones I've talked to now, of course, I didn't talk to that many people who watched it, probably 8 or 10, but they were disgusted. So let's say 1 out of 10 liked it or thought it was okay. So that's not a majority of people that really think it's worthy of what this nation should have. But you're right. If this doesn't concern the people,
I understand if that was his strategy. I get that. But if his strategy is talking to and trying to influence us, he said in the beginning he loves the uneducated. Well, you know what? I think most of the people who supported they're better than educated. They're a lot smarter. They're thinkers.
I'd like to think so.
Yes. So,
like
but he's calling those people uneducated. And that's how he, that's how his pep rallies are. And sure, it's great to be excited about something and someone, and I get all that. But anyway, I'm just saying, we deserve better than that. We expect better than that.
Well, we need we to should. Demand better than that. We, you know, we need demand. To quit expecting and demand it.
Yes.
People standing high on feet say, we're not going to tolerate this. Things will change. But they haven't done it for so long. We've all just kind of sat back and watched it unfold and really didn't do a lot to discourage what's happening. We talked about it once in a while, maybe. But
well,
not many people
actually...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But look at these Republican politicians, these rhinos, and even the... You know, the Tea Partiers that are still in there. They keep the, you know, Lindsay, you know, Republican, the Republican Party's giving him $10 million because he can't get his own money. He can't get any donations. Why is that? He should be going, instead of supporting Donald Trump, he can support Donald Trump in other ways, but he should go in there and say, hey, this is not acceptable. You change your ways. Or I'm not going to support you.
I totally agree.
President Trump would be forced to change. And I hear, oh, he ain't going to change. Well, you know what? Then you do what you have to do. But you know what? I wanted to hit this because we're going to talk about retirement here, Butch. This came up on an article by Howard Gold. That wasn't why I chose it, but Gold is pretty good reason. Half of Americans,
yes,
over 55 may retire poor. In an interview, economist Teresa Ghilarducci, professor at the New York School in New York City and one of the nation's leading experts on retirement, said that half of Americans aged 55 and up will retire in poverty or near poverty. Data is showing that because of the COVID recession, about 50% of workers over the age of 55 will be poor or near poor adults when they reach 65. And how poor is that? A person who's 65 will be near poor or poor if they're living on less than $20,000 a year. She said that we should all agree that means chronic deprivation for the rest of your life. This truly is shocking. Half. This is a crisis.
And a lot of the women, Melody, who had some money put back, had to spend it to get through this COVID, so their savings are gone. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Some of the money invested, maybe they had to draw out and pay bills with it. So you're right. COVID instance going to change this nation. If we're here 10 years from now, it's still going to be changing, because it's going to take a long time to get back anywhere near where we were, if we ever do.
People have lost their jobs, their health insurance. They might have lost the employer match on their 401k contributions. They might have had to tap in, as you said, into the retirement savings to cover daily expenses, and I'm sure it's all of that. Older workers are losing their jobs at a faster rate relative to younger people and relative where they've been before they were in the Great Recession. And we know that many of these jobs are going to be permanent. That's what she said. A report done by the New School Retirement Equity Lab found that over half of older unemployed workers may be forced into involuntary retirement. Nearly 3 million older workers have left the labor force since March. And because of COVID, and more are going to be joining them soon. 4 million people potentially pushed into retirement before they are ready. And that's only going to increase the old age poverty and exacerbate the recession. So this is the crisis.
It is a crisis. It is.
And now you know why they've created a virus that attacks old people. These are all useless eaters that they talk about. I don't consider them useless eaters.
We've been saying that for years. That's going to happen. They can't afford to keep us. when we can no longer produce. I just got off the phone about 20, 30 minutes before we started the program. About 3:30, I was on the phone with our listeners up in Canton, Ohio. He worked at a burying factory. He retired just not too long ago. He said the factory looks like the factory may shut down. He's worried about his retirement fund from the company. If the factory shuts down, obviously you cannot pay retirement. That will have to end some sooner or later. So, yeah, I mean, he's old enough to retire, and he may lose his retirement. That's a little bit scary, is it not?
It is.
I mean,
and
people should be concerned. Absolutely should be concerned. Absolutely should be concerned. But maybe we should go in the T-shirt business. But I told you, Biden made a T-shirt that said on it, "Will you shut up, man?" Mm-hmm. He sold every one of them within 24 hours. They sold out, $30 a piece. He sold every one of them. So what can we put on a T-shirt and put it on live?
Buy gold, lots of it.
There you go. Yes. You know, I mean, they confirmed they sold all they had in 24 hours. Will you shut up, man? So, I'm laughing. I really am, but it's not funny. I mean, either I laugh or cry over this, but it is what it is. This is the caliber, as you said a little bit ago, of the people we have running for office today. Not just for any office, not for dog catcher or local commissioner, but for the President of the United States. This is what we have to offer. That doesn't build a whole lot of my credit.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be talked to in that manner.
No.
And the thing of it is, people might think he's talking to Biden, and that's okay. But it really isn't to Biden. This, you know, these debates are supposed to get votes. You're supposed to increase, you know. But anyway.
Well, I think it was Biden's niece who said if she'd been there, she would have slapped Trump right on the spot. That's what I think Janice said that.
I said that too.
Oh, did you really? Okay. Well, Biden's niece said, if I'd been there, I'd slapped him. I mean, talk about the President of the United States. Office itself is, I mean, the man doesn't deserve, in my mind, doesn't deserve a whole lot of respect. But the office should hold something of, we'll say, respect because of what it is. But somebody said, I'll just slap him. If I were there, I'd slap him. That's a state of affairs of a nation that doesn't sound real encouraging to me. But here's an idea I think we ought to look into, Melody. You probably saw this. Swiss city Geneva to introduce a minimum wage of over $4,000 a month. This is going on, it's starting right now. The Swiss city Geneva is to introduce a minimum wage of $25 an hour, equal to roughly 3,772 Swiss francs, or $4,100 a month, for a 41-hour working week. Nearly two-thirds of the canton of Geneva on Sunday voted in favor of introducing the minimum wage, which is reported to be the highest in the world, $25 an hour. It is set to be implemented this month, according to the Groupement Transfrontalier European website, an organization representing cross-border workers in France and Switzerland. $25 an hour minimum wage in Geneva. I wonder how businesses will manage that. How would they raise their prices enough to cover that? And minimum wages always cause inflation, so businesses don't really win and customers don't win. Inflation is inflation, Bill. If you raise pay the minimum wage $10 an hour, people raise their prices. So what did the employee gain? Either one of them.
Taxes are higher, and a cup of coffee is going to cost them $10.
I mean,
although
you read these things.
Although people already pay that with Starbucks.
Oh gosh, I can't believe that. But you would, I would thought maybe the Swiss would have had more sense than that, but apparently not. Well, apparently, people the same thing, the same way all over the world. Get it while you can.
Get it while you can.
You know, and it goes on from there with what's happening in the country, I can't comprehend all this yet either. But if everything goes together, like it looks like it may after the election, we could see a lot of interruptions in our nation with our utilities, not to mention its finances, but utilities. If we go to riots in the streets, We're going to share some article in a minute to say this is going to happen. If we have rioting, looting, and burning, businesses are going to shut down. Utilities may be shut off. They can't keep them going. What will people do if this happens? And I think it probably will, at least in some limited amount in some areas of this country. And some Americans will say this is justified. We need to have violence. We'll cover that after this next break coming up. This is out of your state, Maryland, by the way. So, is it violence? I guess violence can be justified. Obviously, it was in 1776. But I don't like to see that happen. Not on a scale to happen this time. You know, this is
no, and I don't condone it, and I don't. It truly is the thugs and everything that are out in the streets and causing all these problems and so forth. And people really do need to start calling their officials and so forth and telling them to do what is necessary to make it stop. Whether that works or not remains to be seen. But there's a lot of things that you can do locally, and you start going to your city council meetings, start going, and it's probably a little too late now. You should have been doing this for the past couple months. But there are things that you can do, and let your voice be heard, that you will not tolerate this in your community, and that they need to do something to prevent it from starting.
Yes, before it even happens. Nip it in the bud, Barney.
Before it even happens.
Yeah, nip it in the bud.
So,
but I had a call from a listener in Kansas City today. The mayor is going to lay off 400 police officers in Kansas City. He said that's half of the force going to lay off. In the city size of Kansas City, that's quite a hit. And so half the police force laid off in Kansas City. Is that going to help? Is that going to take away the violence? Or are people going to be more emboldened to do what they want to do? Police forces have no doubt abused themselves. I just read an article today where a sheriff, and I can't remember where it was, actually gave the men's dinner if they would actually be rough on civilians. I'm not making up. This is really happened. I can't know what the article is, but it really happened. They bought him dinner. If you're rough on them, he'll buy you dinner. That's really true. So sometimes we no doubt these are out-of-hand police officers. But in many cases, they're the little thin blue line that does separate chaos from order. And you know that'll be true. So what do you do?
Yes, again, the people in Kansas City should be, they should be outraged, and they should be doing what they need to be done, because their voice is never heard. It's only those that are rioting and so forth that their voices are heard. And those politicians, whether it be by design or not, which I think it is, but I'm just saying this from something that makes a little bit of sense and common sense, but your voices are never heard. So, there are things that we can do, but we don't. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And make sure you visit our radio page. You can listen to the program live. And, of course, the archives are there. And just waiting for my approval on the website, and it should be going live hopefully when Dave gets back next week. So looking forward to Dave returning on Monday, and we'll go from there. So, but until now, I got Pastor Butch Paul to do the program with. And
well, yep. I guess second best better than nothing. I shouldn't have said that, but I'd give you a hard time once in a while. But back to serious stuff. Americans increasingly believe violence is justified if the other side wins. At the presidential debate this week, the Republican candidate voiced his concern about political violence, left-wing political violence. And the Democratic candidate likewise voiced concern about political violence, right-wing political violence. They were both right. Like a growing number of prominent American leaders and scholars, we're increasingly anxious that this country is headed toward the worst post-election crisis in a century and a half. Our biggest concern is that a disputed presidential election, especially if there are close contests in a few swing states, where one candidate denounces the legitimacy of the process, could generate violence and bloodshed. So they're comparing that to what could happen, what happened during the War of Northern Aggression. When the election was over, they went to war. We'll see. I don't know. Again, I hope it's just all talk and no action. I truly do. But yeah. I am nervous about it. I'm afraid to share it. I'm a little nervous about it. I'm not feared for myself or what happened to me. But for the nation itself, I don't want to see it torn apart. I really don't.
I don't think I don't know if I should say that. I don't think now's, trust me, we could have worse elections. So. And again, I think no matter who gets elected, I think it's going to be, you know, if we get the Democrats, and I think that's the thing that's being ignored, or you know, if we lose the Senate and they keep the House, President Trump's not going to be able to do anything anyway.
He did 2 years anyway when he had both houses and Senate. He didn't do anything.
He'll issue most of the executive orders really don't mean anything. They were either just to, you know, investigate this and, you know, see if this doesn't happen. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they really didn't mean anything. They were good-willed. They were goodwill executive orders. But a lot of them were things that aren't going to get done. And if Biden gets in there, yeah, it's going to be difficult if the if they take over the Senate and they have 2 years, because that's all they'll have. Because they'll destroy it too in 2 years. That, you know, come the elections in 2022, you know, the Republicans will be able to take back something. Don't know what, but something. And so I mean, that's how it's going to be played out. Democrats get it for 2 years. I don't know. Where's the money coming from? They're not all that organized anyway.
Well, and I have lived long enough to see this bounce back and forth between the two main parties all of our lifetime. Bounce back and forth, and nothing's really changed but for the worse. So we're kidding ourselves thinking that we'll get a Republican and they're going to change this, and it doesn't change. Newt Gingrich back in the 90s said, we're going to clean house. When we clean house, we're going to make this country great again. That's what he said, basically.
He was kicked out, too.
Yes, he was kicked out.
He cleaned house so well.
So, but nothing happened. Republicans took over for two solid years with Trump as a leader, and nothing happened. Now, people say what they want to, but nothing really happened. Nothing changed for the better. You got a tax cut. That didn't benefit me a little bit. It didn't.
It cost my son more.
It cost my son more money to pay out their income. They paid more taxes on the tax cut. All three of my sons did. So, how'd it benefit us?
But did the tax... We're always interested in what D.C. can do for us.
Yes.
It's not supposed to do for us. It's supposed to do
for the
country, not us. So tax cuts, who did it help? It's not supposed to help any group. You know? How did it really help? It was a temporary... It didn't bring us out of any issues. I mean, look at the ISM manufacturing I was talking to you about. That started going down after his tax cuts were passed. How'd that help?
Well, I defy anybody to show me in the Constitution where the federal government or state governments have any duty to take from somebody else to give somebody else. Welfare is not in the Constitution. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, all that's not in the Constitution. Government control over every little business, every little nuance is not in the Constitution. Government control for the state or federal one to shut down businesses because of some virus is not in the Constitution. None of this is allowed by the Constitution. But what's the Constitution? It's something we refer to if we find something that may help us. Overall, those ignored. All these things you see happening today, all these handouts, all these cushions we say, all these safety nets we have out there to help people stay up financially, are unconstitutional. But no one seems to care because they're getting the money. In Switzerland, Geneva, they get $4,000 a month. Whether that's in the government to do that or not, I have no idea. But here it isn't. But if people get it, they won't turn it down. So their votes have been bought. They've been bought off with some temporary help. And that's where they're going to go. They're waiting for the next handout. The airlines are waiting for a handout. They're going to lay people off starting today. So why is the government involved in that? And I'm not being mean, hoping not. But if they can't make it on their own, why should we bail them out? Does that make sense to you, Melody?
Sure.
I mean, if you couldn't run your business and keep your head above water, why would you expect anybody to bail you out?
And you know, the thing of it is, as far as, you know, we look at the tax cuts, even these stimulus payments that the people are getting and so forth, where is it really going? You know, the stimulus was given to the taxpayers. It's our money to begin with. And then what do we do with it? Everything we buy goes to someplace else. You buy cars, we help wherever they're made around the world. You buy anything from Walmart, certainly doesn't go back to the United States. You know, I mean, there just isn't any, I mean, from our fruits and vegetables. If we buy fruits and vegetables, a lot of our money goes to the Latin American countries. Gasoline. The Arabs own the largest refinery in the United States. Even our computers for businesses. I mean, who are we helping to buying these things? We don't make any of this stuff. So,
that's true.
You know, so all this stimulus, all these tax cuts, these multinational corporations, it's madness.
It is.
You know, all your credit cards, what you buy, you know, the stocks that you buy, who does it really help?
Well, again,
madness.
It is madness, and it's causing frustration to people. I know that too. It really is.
Yes.
But back to the situation with the turmoil. Milton Group has recruited thousands of police, soldiers, and veterans. Stuart Rhodes, you probably know who Stuart Rhodes is, I imagine. Stuart Rhodes was living his vision of the future. On television, American cities were burning. While on the internet, rumors warned that Antifa bands were coming to terrorize the suburbs. Rhodes is driving around South Texas, getting ready for them. He answered his phone, let's not mess around. No, he didn't say mess. He said, we descend into civil war. It was a Friday evening in June. Rhodes 55 is a stocky man with a gray buzz cut, a wardrobe of tactical casual attire, and a black eye patch. With him to pick up were a pistol and a dusty black hat with the gold logo of the Oath Keepers, a militant group that has drawn in thousands of people from the military and law enforcement communities. Now, the Oath Keepers is not necessarily a militant group, but that's what they call them. Of course, they want to make them look bad. Rhodes had been talking about the Civil War since he founded the Oath Keepers in 2009. But now more people were listening. And whereas Rhodes had once cast himself as a revolutionary in waiting, he now saw his role as defending the president. He had put out a call for his followers to protect the country against what he called an insurrection. The unrest, he told me, was the latest attempt to undermine Donald Trump. There you go. Trump, we got to have Trump. Other side says anybody but Trump. So, what is that going to lead to? I really, really, really don't know.
Well, but, by people paying attention to these people, it just gives them more fire. And that's why I don't. Because there are people who stir stuff up. That is their goal. And it happens on both sides. So that's why I don't discuss these things. That's why I don't like to go down that road. That's why I think people need to be vocal to their community leaders. And so far, starting with your mayors or your councilmen or whatever. And because it's both sides, and they're just people who like to stir up stuff. Now, I understand protecting our country and our Constitution and so forth. Don't know when we'll get to that point in time. But I think a lot of this stuff now, because I don't believe, personally, it's my opinion, I personally don't believe that President Trump is worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Or fighting with. Because I don't believe, and oh my gosh, we'll probably lose listeners now faster than, you know, and I don't mean to be nasty or, but that's just me.
Well, the same way with Biden also.
Same way, yeah. They're just not worth, they're not, you know, and how, so, you know, I don't know.
Well, we haven't talked about Venezuela for quite a while, so I wanted to just share this because about time. New round of protests shakes Venezuela.
We're just about out of time.
We are about out of time. It's flying by so fast. New round of protests shakes Venezuela as public services fail. Now, this is a nation we thought was regaining its feet, its foothold, and Russia and other people in China were working with them. See, as a new round of protests has started to sweep across Venezuela as discontent intensifies in the country's near-abandoned interior due to worsening fuel shortages and the constant failure of public services, a local non-government organization said on Tuesday. According to reports received by the Caracas-based Venezuelan Observatory of Social Conflict, over 100 protests have taken place since weekend 19 of Venezuela's 23 states to demand authorities provide water, power, and fuel. The OPEC nation's collapsed oil industry is no longer able to supply Venezuelans with fuel for their cars, and years of mismanagement and corruption have left much of the infrastructure, bringing power and water to homes in ruins. Melody, that could very well happen here. It could very well happen here. Mismanagement and corruption, would that fit our government a little bit too? Do you think maybe something's been mismanaged over the years and made a little bit of corruption involved in it?
It's already happening here. When we're talking about 50% of the people over 65 are going to retire poverty, making less than $20,000, what do you think's going to happen to them?
And
there's a lot of them, too.
Oh, there are, yes. Absolutely are. But think how these people in Venezuela over the last few years have struggled to keep the head above water. And now they can't even get water to their homes, no power to their homes, can't even buy gasoline for their own cars when their nation is rich in oil. That shows what socialism will do. That shows what America's heading for, because we're hitting socialism. No matter of fact, we're already there. It's just intensifying the different degree of socialism coming in this country every day. But that's what in Venezuela, it was a prosperous nation, hugely prosperous. And it's going. Now they can't keep water in the homes or power on, and can't even afford to put gas in the car from a nation that produced so much oil in the past. That is what, again, Melody, what happens when government takes over and runs the state instead of people trying to run the private businesses themselves.
Yeah, but I think I read where not too long ago where Iran is in there helping them to mine gold.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, so I don't know. But this country...
But it won't trickle down to the people. Oh. Not yet, anyway, but...
Well, this nation of Venezuela, like I said, one time was a very prosperous nation.
Sure.
And all this happened just in the last 3 or 4 years. So we shouldn't be too smug here either. I think it can happen here because it already has started here. It really has. On different levels.
It will be different, but we're headed in that direction. It's a different, but it's definitely that direction.
Well, from going from the most generous country in the world, we give way more money than anybody else in the world. We're now the most indebted nation in the world. That should also tell us something. We owe more money than any nation in the world. We used to be, we give every nation in the world. So something happened in our lifetime.
Yep.
It had to be mismanagement and waste and corruption.
And who allowed it to happen?
Look in the mirror.
Yep. Absolutely. So, I'm just as guilty.
We all are.
We all are.
You know? We're so busy, I don't know, making a living, buying boats or cars, whatever, paying for houses, raising children. Nothing wrong with any of those. But when they take priority over your liberties and freedoms, you've lost it.
Yeah. And we're out of time. You're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.